This is Do Something Radio, Clout with Richard Green.
And this is Richard Green, and we are back broadcasting live from Baltimore, Maryland at the Natural Products Expo, where all these people doing really cool ecopreneurship, environmentally friendly, triple lime, triple bottom line kinds of companies and incredible products that you've probably not heard of. And if unless you shop in a Whole Foods or Wild Oats, which is now becoming Whole Foods, you may not have ever seen. And one of those products, which is making an invasion and can't be too soon into the United States in terms of milk products, in terms of seeds, in terms of substitutes for like peanut butter, there's all sorts of pastes and just a million different things, is hemp, which is connected to, yes, can we say this on radio? Marijuana. But it has nothing to do with marijuana. And we're going to talk to Ruth Shamai of Ruth's Hemp Foods in Toronto. Ruth, tell us about the connection to marijuana or the lack of connection to marijuana.
Okay, hemp and marijuana are connected the way Chihuahuas and Great Danes are connected.
Great.
Okay, so in other words, you know, they're like hemp and marijuana are both cannabis, but they're totally different. And no matter what you feed a Chihuahua, it will not turn into a Great Dane. And you cannot make hemp turn into marijuana. They're just totally different varieties of a same plant family, the way both of those breeds are both dogs, but really are, you know, they don't resemble each other. Well, hemp and marijuana resemble each other in an outward way, but they don't share the psychoactive component, which is the important distinction.
So as many hemp seeds as I want to eat for the protein, if I'm bodybuilding, or as much hemp milk as I want to drink, I'm not going to get stoned?
No. You're definitely not going to get stoned. You're not going to even fail a urine test.
Although I have to tell you something very funny. An old girlfriend of mine, we would feed, she had a place out in Denver, and she had a bunch of squirrels. And we love to go to the Whole Foods there and get hemp waffles, which are really yummy, right? And just for fun, we left them out and we fed them to the squirrels. And they seemed to be kind of flipping out and doing literally doing triple flips off of the tree and everything. Might it affect a squirrel even though it doesn't affect a human? I know this sounds like an incredible tangent.
I really don't think so, but maybe they're just not used to that many omegas.
That's it. It's the omega-3 high. Okay, I'll have to tell my old friend Brenda. Anyway, so that's cool. I love the Chihuahua Great Dane thing. So why, on a political level, why are we so frickin' petrified of this plant?
That is really hard to say. I can tell you a few of my favorite theories, if you like.
Oh, please, it's all yours.
Okay. Well, today somebody came up to the booth and they told me, I work in the hemp industry and have for many, many years, but they told me that the reason it's illegal in America is because of support of the pesticide industry, right? Because hemp can be grown without pesticides, and that's just a threat to people who produce pesticides.
Well, hold on, back up. Hemp can be grown without pesticides. That seems to be like a good thing.
Absolutely, but it doesn't support the pesticide industry, which, of course, is powerful in America. Now, that is not my favorite theory. That's just one theory.
Okay, so we're talking about why is the United States so crazy and so paranoid about this thing called a hemp plant? Theory number one, pesticide industry, pesticide lobby. Theory number two?
The prison industry. Okay? Prisons are a big, big industry in America, right? Because the prisons are by and large privatized, and they seek to jail people. And if hemp is legal, then it casts reasonable doubt on marijuana cases, which are truly marijuana cases, can cause reasonable doubt, and those people can be acquitted. That's not good for the prison industry.
Okay, that one on a scale of 0 to 10. The first one, I would give it an 8 to a 10. That sounds very viable. This one sounds like about a 1 or a 2. Okay, do you
that's actually my favorite.
That's your favorite? Okay, well, we're going to have to disagree on that. What's the third one? Or do we have a third? Or that's it? It's just the prison industry and the pesticide industry?
No, I think the other theories are more about the wild cousin.
Although, in other words, it's if it has anything to do with marijuana, we have to just say no.
Right. Just say no. Oh, police budgets. There's another thing. The police get a lot of money to eradicate feral hemp, even though it is.
Feral means what?
Wild.
Okay.
And there is a lot of wild hemp, feral hemp, growing throughout the countryside in Kentucky, where it used to be legal. Throughout all of the Midwest, where it used to be legal, there's a lot of wild hemp growing. And actually, the police budgets, they get money to go out and tear up these poor little plants. And that would be money out of their budgets if it were legal.
Okay, I'm going to give that one about a 4. And I'm going to give a 10 our incredible insanity going all the way back to reefer madness with this thing called marijuana, which quite honestly I believe should be legalized in all possible ways. I think people who smoke pot, I'm not encouraging it, are much safer behind the wheel than people who drink alcohol. They're much safer doing it's been shown. So it's just this irrational, just craziness that we have about anything having to do with the cannabis sativa. And unfortunately, it really hurts us because hemp is one of the most amazing things. So we've talked about paper, we've talked about rope, we've talked about the fact that it doesn't need pesticides to grow. And she's pulling off her clothes. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. You're saying she's pulling off. Go, tell us.
I'm just wearing a hemp shirt. I thought, you know, it is a great thing for textiles.
What's the difference between hemp and cotton? Why? What's better about hemp as a clothing product?
Cotton it's about 3% of the world's crop and uses 52% of the world's agricultural inputs. In other words, it adds a huge amount of chemicals into our atmosphere and into the groundwater, whereas hemp can be grown without any pesticides or...
Without? Okay. I'm just trying to translate here from your Canadian.
That's okay. You can make fun of me.
No.
We make fun of you all the time.
And for good reason.
Okay. So, anyways, hemp can be grown without any, however you would say that, chemicals at all. So there's very few agricultural inputs.
So hemp is like inherently organic.
No, that's not actually true. Hemp uses a lot of nitrogen when it's grown, and to have a good hemp crop, you need a lot of nitrogen. If it is grown certified organically, then that's one thing. If it is not certified organic, it is using chemical nitrogen and hydrous oxide. So that is not sustainable if it's not certified organic. And that's a very important distinction, because there are people who market hemp as sustainable even if it is grown with chemical fertilizers, and that's just dishonest.
But even at its worst, hemp is a more sustainable, less destructive product than cotton.
Absolutely, because there are no fertilizers or pesticides used on it.
Wow, interesting. What's going on in North Dakota?
North Dakota, very interesting. This is kind of one of those state versus federal issues, because the state legislature in North Dakota has passed legislation allowing its farmers to grow hemp.
Yay, North Dakota.
Yeah, it's passed every level. It's gone through. Their governor signed off. So according to North Dakota law, those farmers are good to grow. But they are worried that DEA will come from the federal level and crack down on them, because it is still considered a drug on the DEA level, and they are worried that they'll be, you know, busted with drug felonies for growing hemp, which they are legally allowed to do. So they have launched a lawsuit basically to ask DEA to do nothing at all, to leave them alone so that they can go about trying to make a living growing hemp.
And it's North Dakota, for God's sakes. I mean, who wants to go to North Dakota? They got their own little happy thing, and right?
Well, there are people that live there, actually. And
I'm kidding.
And they want to grow hemp, and they're worried that DEA will crack down on them. So this is very groundbreaking, because if they have gone to court and they want to force DEA to declare that they will not come and take action against them for growing hemp, on June 18th they launched their lawsuit, and it has not yet been cleared up. DEA, I believe, said that it should all be dismissed because it was nonsense, and of course it's going back and forth, etc. It is still in motion. Now, if they win this lawsuit, then, and I believe they will, if they win this lawsuit, then it's a wonderful thing, because any other state which passes legislation allowing them to grow hemp has a precedent of being able to say, okay, we don't have to worry about the feds anymore. We can grow. The state still has to pass legislation allowing it.
So let's just back up here. We're talking to Ruth Shamai of Ruth's Hemp Foods in Toronto, Canada, talking about all of the wonderful things about hemp and talking about the valiant struggle of the state of North Dakota. And I mean no ill will towards North Dakota. It's just one of our least populous states, and people make lots of jokes about it. But they have one of the coolest and best senators there, a guy named Byron Dorgan, who's a big hero to all of us in the progressive movement. Yes.
And let me just say that one of the farmers, there are two farmers who have launched this lawsuit, and one of them is an elected representative. His name is David Monson, and he's an elected representative in North Dakota. So that's very cool that he's also a farmer and he's elected and he wants to grow hemp.
So how can I bet you there are a lot of people listening right now who are saying, wow, this is really cool. I want to help, because it sounds like North Dakota is really fighting the good fight on behalf of the other 49 states that were not quite as progressive or courageous as North Dakota. What can people do?
For one thing, they can go to votehemp.com. Vote Hemp is an organization with the mission of legalizing industrial hemp in America and supporting the farmers, and they are backing the lawsuit. So anything you want to know about this lawsuit, please go to votehemp.com and find out all about it.
This is fascinating. So this is another cause, and I just am hearing about it tonight with you, and I am very interested in helping these people, because this is so below the radar. I mean, who's heard of this? It's amazing. votehemp.com, mm-hmm. And it'll tell you all the different ways to get involved with this. Okay.
Another thing you can do is buy my Vote Hemp bar, because I've produced a bar in support of the fight of the North Dakota farmers, and I'm donating. I launched it on the 4th of July. It's my red, white, and blueberry bar. And I'm donating until the end of October 100% of the profit from this bar to Vote Hemp, and 20% for the entire life of the bar. So get involved with the Vote Hemp bar.
That's great. We're going to come back. I want to find a little bit more about your bar. You can tell us, you can entice us with how yummy it is and how healthful it is. We're talking to Ruth Shamai from Toronto, Canada, who's quite a pioneer trying to help us, a stupid, crazy, paranoid, wacko Americans down here south of the border. Thanks so much for that. This is Richard Green. This is Clout. This is Air America from the Natural Products Expo in Baltimore, Maryland. We'll be right back.